conduct? Is that okay with you?
Yep.
Or I could leave it on?
I guess I should give one of these to Dawn, too.
I'm not sure, I forget how I got it, but I actually got a full copy of the budget result.
So which one?
Forward.
Great.
Thanks.
Are you going to leave this on? Sorry about the 49ers.
Me too.
I've been trying to recover all day.
That's awful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We're fine.
I'd like to call to order the Grover Beach City Council meeting of Monday, February 4th, 2013. It is 6:31 p.m., and I'd like to... I'm actually not going to have everybody stand for a moment of silence tonight because I wanted to do something just a little bit differently. I went to a... over to Mongo's about 8 days ago, and I know Mayor Pro Tem Bright was there as well. And I wanted to let all of you know something that for me was really touching. There was a fundraiser for a family of domestic violence, who some of you have may heard about recently. And this is one of, I think, about the fourth time they've done this. And there was a group of shoppers, diners, residents, business owners in Grover Beach who got together and between them raised $2,700. And this isn't the first time they've done this. They've done this, I think, three or four times. And I was particularly touched because as a city, there's a limit to what we can do. We can't meet all the financial needs. We can't meet all of the emotional needs. We can't meet even all of the physical needs. We can do a lot, and they were very grateful for our police department and our city manager. But it's really the community that comes in and makes a big difference. So I wanted to let you all know that. I was deeply touched. And I want to read the names of the people who were there just because I want you to know how many people there were in Grover Beach who really cared. There was Tex Neely. There was American Property Services, Linda McClure. And I'm going to go through fast because there are three pages. Steve Hugo, Madeline White, Jay Horner, Cherie Brown, Jeff White, Greg Baldwin, Jillian Hart, Scott Buchanan, Lynette Dominguez, Renee Anderson, Courtney Barcelos, Tom and Ann Smalley, Nate and Marie Miller, Dave and Noelia De La Torre, UPS of San Luis Obispo, United States Postal Service of Atascadero, San Luis Obispo, and Pismo Beach, Chili's in Arroyo Grande, New Life Church, the AGU MCC, Achievement House, Friends of Grover Beach, Justin's Plumbing, Grover Beach, Sierra Auto Body, Linda and John Fielder, Grover Beach, Rabobank America, Victim Witness SLO, City of Grover Beach Police Department, SLO District Attorney's Office, Carrie Page, Catherine Folkerts, Courtney Quinton, Natasha Abbey, Proud Pooch, Grover Beach, Ron's Nursery, Grover Beach, Stack Sandwiches, Grover Beach, Paisano's, Grover Beach, Hole in the Sky, Grover Beach, Grand Liquor, Grover Beach, Tantrum Fitness, Grover Beach, Shelley Bundy, Emmett Doherty, Rose Bartlett, Big Five in Pismo, 76 Station in Pismo, Raku Restaurant, Grover, Richard Newfield, her bicycle. She also enjoys swimming, walking, and skating. Diane is accompanied this evening by her principal, Pablo Chavero. Okay, in spirit. And her mother. There's her mother. And it looks like her whole family's here tonight, and it looks like her teacher's here as well. That's lovely. Thank you. So if we could all stand, and Diana, if you could lead us in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now, Diana, come on up here.
We're going to give you this and see the chief over there. He's going to take a picture of us. And also, we have some small school supplies. And we've got a free hand if you could shake everybody's hand up here.
City Clerk, could we have the roll call, please?
Here.
Here.
Here. Here. And could we also please, City Attorney, have the closed session announcements?
Certainly. Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. On Monday, January 14th, Council met in closed session on two items. One was existing litigation, Lopers versus City of Glover Beach. The other one was one pending litigation, a potential case. There were no reportable actions taken by the Council in closed session.
Thank you. Now we'll do our agenda review. This is the time when the City Council reviews the order of business to be conducted and receives requests for or makes announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. Are there any changes? Nope. Okay. So I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
Motion is... Oh, we need to... Is it roll call? It's not roll call, is it? It's just voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, we're unanimous. So now is the ceremonial part of our evening, and we have a proclamation declaring support for the Start by Believing public awareness campaign, and it will be presented to Jennifer Adams, the Executive Director of NCWS SARP, which is, oh wait, also the North County Women's Shelter and Resource Center and the Sexual Assault Recovery and Prevention Center. Okay, and Council Member Jeff Lee is going to present that award or proclamation.
Thank you. My pleasure to read a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Glover Beach supporting the Start by Believing public awareness campaign. Whereas the City of Glover Beach shares a critical concern for victims of sexual violence and a desire to support their needs for justice and healing. And whereas in 2012, the Glover Beach Police Department received a total of 3 reports of rape or attempted rape, and the Sexual Assault Recovery Prevention Center for San Luis Obispo served the needs of county victims during 422 crisis interventions, 219 peer counseling sessions, and 107 forensic exams, law enforcement interviews, or other proceedings. And whereas research estimates that as many as 1 in 6 women and 1 in 33 men will become the victims of rape or attempted rape, yet most will not report the crime to law enforcement, and rapists who are not detected by authorities will perpetrate an average of 6 crimes. Whereas research documents that victims are far more likely to disclose their sexual assault to a friend or family member, and when those loved ones respond with doubt, shame, or blame, victims suffer additional negative effects on their physical and psychological well-being. Whereas the Start by Believing public awareness campaign is designed to improve the response of friends, family members, and community professionals so they can help victims to access supportive resources and engage the criminal justice system. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Glover Beach hereby supports the Start by Believing public awareness campaign launched in San Luis Obispo County on February 1st, 2013, and does hereby declare this day to be the Start by Believing Day throughout the City of Glover Beach, California.
And I actually just noticed here that the police chief was supposed to present this one. So sorry, Chief, I didn't read. But if there's anything you want to say, okay. And I believe Jeff had one comment. And I think, did you want to make some comments as well? Okay. Sure. Okay. Go ahead. You can go first.
I get to go first.
You get to go first.
Thank you. This is my first time here at the Glover Beach City Council. My name is Jennifer Adams. I'm the executive director of the North County Women's Shelter and Resource Center. And the sexual assault recently merged with the North County Women's Shelter is prepared to respond to survivors in our community. This newly merged organization serves both victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, as well as their loved ones. The campaign officially launched on February 1st with the help of numerous criminal justice and community partners, including Chief Copsey, thank you very much, Chief, and the Glover Beach Police Department. Our goal is to reach every adult resident of the county with campaign materials, including posters and brochures, postcards and bookmarks, T-shirts and card magnets, and we even have a billboard in downtown San Luis Obispo. So please visit us on the web or on our Facebook page or come by one of our offices in San Luis Obispo or Paso Robles to obtain materials. And we thank you for joining us in this effort to end sexual violence in our community by starting by believing.
Thank you so much for your hard work there, and also to the chief for joining with you on that. Were there any questions or comments from the council?
I just had one, and I want to say thank you for joining us this evening, and then also let everyone know that it's the Start by Believing campaign, I think, is a great effort, and yet it doesn't stop there. If you look at the SARP website, I saw that you've got a series of women's empowerment and self-defense workshops that are upcoming, and you've also partnered with a number of organizations to support to support your program through Sexual Assault Awareness Month coming up in April, and then also I know a number of community projects, including the Vagina Monologues and a Memory Monologue, A Rant and a Prayer, are going to be fundraisers for the SARP Center as well. So it starts here, but it doesn't end here until we end the violence.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you so very much. And for your words earlier, recognizing community members, we serve victims of domestic violence, and you're right, there's none of us can do it all, and so it's only with the help of the community. So thank you very much for that recognition.
Thank you.
And for this. We appreciate it. And I was going to leave some brochures.
Great.
For to be placed wherever, because they're for everyone.
Okay, super. Thank you. I'm going to open for public communications, but before I do that, I wanted to, and while we've still got a lot of people here, I wanted to talk a little bit about the process this evening and how we go through the meeting so that you have a better understanding, perhaps, and we all have a reminder of how the system works. And we will open for public communications. When we open that, then any of you is able to speak on any item that the council has jurisdiction over. After that, then we'll go into our public hearings, and the public hearings, in fact, all of the material on the agenda comes out at the same time, at least 72 hours before the meeting, so that all of us have an opportunity, all of you have an opportunity to read and research and think up whatever it is we feel we still need to know. And after that, when we come back here, you can speak on anything you like in the first hearing that I'll open up, but then or the first communications. After that, we go into public hearings. And at public hearings, there's a specific order that we do things in, and we do it that way to make sure that the public has a chance to be heard. So the way we do it is, first of all, there's a staff report, usually done by a member of staff here, sometimes an outside expert. And after the staff report, the council is able to ask questions so we can get clear on things. And sometimes we ask questions so that you can get clear on things. Sometimes the reports could use a little enhancement, and we try to provide that. After that, then, we go back out to the public, and on the public hearings, then, you all have the opportunity to comment on any specific item that we're hearing. And after that, then, we come back and we deliberate. We talk about the issue, we try to reach consensus, and then we have a vote. So the important thing here, and the reason I'm telling you this, is that I want the public to understand that this is your council. These are your meetings. This is your city. And we want you to participate, and we encourage you to do so. There are other ways to be heard. You can also email. You can send a letter in. You can drop a letter off. Or you can actually call the city or call the individual council members. So thank you for being here tonight. And having said all of that, I am going to open for public communications. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to come forward? Okay, and the council can listen to all communications, but we can't act on any communications now.
I've been here a long time.
Good.
My health was given up, and I'm going to try to do the best I can to explain this. But you mentioned in the night that you took your seat there that you wanted comment from the public. Well, for 55 years, this town hadn't been in a town, but people came down here, 20 property owners, 30, 40, 50 years ago, and tried to explain to the planners, the council, on the situation they wanted. Today, there's probably 4 or 5 counties, San Luis Obispo, Chamber of Commerce, coming through here a year. and you can't get them to stop, and you got 30 vacant stores, I think that's a disgrace, and it shames the council, the staff, and anybody that's connected with making this a better city. For 2009 and 2012, I drove 7,000 miles each year north of Yellowstone to cross. Those people didn't even have any tourists in Yellowstone and Mount Rushmore. They were suffering. Cities were suffering out there. Walmart came in, and they've closed small businesses. It's a shame. And you people got 1.5, and you got a beach, and you got these people, and you can't get them to stop and see your city and spend money in it. You know, I worked for Safeway for 37 years, and the last few years was Williams. Merle Williams was the best CEO I ever had. He was tough. If you couldn't do your job, then he warned you, and then he gave you a pink slip and a check. Safeway did that same thing. Well, when I started with Safeway in 1957, they were all over the United States, England, and Austin. I learned a lot, and I know a little bit about business. And I have one in north of Cincinnati and one here with cattle.
I'm going to have to ask you to wind up now, Mr. Wysong.
And if I can do it, and I went through 5 strikes, 11 weeks at a time, I got $10 a week. And if I can make it, I don't understand why the government, I know why. Because of 3.5.
Thank you, Mr. Wysong.
They don't have common sense, practical experience, and common knowledge.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else from the public who'd like to come forward? All right, seeing none, I'm going to bring it back to the council. We're going to move into our public hearings, and the first hearing is the proposed rate adjustment request from South County Sanitary Service.
Yes, Madam Mayor and members of the council, I will introduce this item this evening. As you've indicated, this item is regarding a proposed rate adjustment for South County Sanitary Service. South County Sanitary Service is a subsidiary of Waste Management and has been serving this community under a franchise agreement for a number of years. They provide solid waste collection and disposal services. In 2008, the franchise agreement with South County Sanitary Service was amended and extended by 15 years. That's a franchise agreement that we have in place now, and it lays out the provisions for rate reviews and rate increases. Rate reviews are to occur on a periodic basis. The methodology is laid out in the franchise agreement, and really there are two types of methodologies that are used. There's what is called a base year review, which is more of a comprehensive review, and then there's an interim review. What's been submitted here is actually in accordance with the base year methodology. And what South County Sanitation District is requesting is a 3.2% adjustment in their rates. What I'm going to ask you to do is to bear with me as I introduce Mr. Bill Statler. He has provided us with an independent review of the information submitted by the South County Sanitary Service. Mr. Statler, as in the past, has been retained by the cities of Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, and Oceano and Arroyo Grande, because the rate reviews are all done about the same time, and the information is very close. So Mr. Statler provides us with an independent review. What I'm going to do is ask Mr. Statler to take you through his presentation. Then both he and I, as well as Mr. Tom Martin, who's here from South County Sanitation Service, will be here to listen to or answer any questions that you might have. Then you would proceed with the public hearing and deliberate upon the adjustment.
Thank you. Yes.
Well, good evening. I'm pleased to have this opportunity to briefly share the results of the analysis that I recently performed. As the city manager indicated, actually this is a joint review for the City of Arroyo Grande, City of Grover Beach, Oceano, and the City of Pismo Beach. Why do that jointly? You have very similar services you receive from South County Sanitary Service. In fact, based on your 2008 franchise agreement, similar one adopted by these other agencies, you have exactly the same service that they provide. You don't really have similar franchise agreements. You have exactly the same franchise agreements. And that means you have the same rate review methodology. And the reality is job of managing their costs and revenues. So from that, my rate recommendation is to approve their request for a 3.2% rate increase. As pointed out on the report, the 3.2% rate increase is actually less than the 5.4% rate increase that's actually allowed under the adopted rate-setting methodology. But there is a provision in your franchise agreement that says if their rate increase requests ever exceed cumulatively from the time you adopted this agreement to the date that they asked for the rate increase, the cumulative increase in the CPI, Consumer Price Index, that's occurred over that period of time, then you have the option at any time within 9 months following that to terminate the agreement. So this doesn't directly limit them to a potentially lower rate increase. But it does mean that subjecting themselves to a possible termination of the agreement provides them a powerful incentive to submit a rate increase request that keeps them at or less than that threshold. And in fact, the threshold they have for not triggering that termination is a 3.25% rate increase, and their requested increase of 3.2% is actually slightly less than what would otherwise provide that opportunity for a trigger. So just to kind of re-summarize, they are allowed and could certainly have asked for a 5.4% rate increase, and had that been what they asked for, I would have told you to approve that as well, because it would have been within the methodology. But that would have subjected them potentially to that trigger, so they've opted to submit a rate increase that is something less than they would otherwise be allowed in order to avoid that opportunity for that trigger to even potentially be on the table. So, even though they are under that trigger, well, maybe their documentation would only say they have a 2.5% rate increase. So we still need to do the methodology to make sure that at least the 3.2% is less than that. So really the question when you look at the methodology is, should they be granted a rate increase? And if so, how much? And there's really three questions to ask as part of that process, and that is, how much does it cost them to provide the required service levels under the franchise agreement? Important question, are those costs reasonable given the services they provide? And if those costs are reasonable, then what's a reasonable rate of return on those costs? The basis for review, again, as the city manager indicated, adopted in your franchise agreement is the rate-setting manual that was adopted and prepared by the city of San Luis Obispo. In reviewing or preparing the recommendations for you, I took a look at your franchise agreement. Had there been any amendments, I would have reviewed those too, but at least I made sure there weren't any amendments since 2008. Reviewed their audited financial statements, reviewed the rate-setting manual, reviewed all of their documentation that's in their application for the rate request, had follow-up discussions with agency and the South County sanitary staff, and performed a rate survey of other Central Coast communities. So that first question, are costs reasonable? I really looked at that from three different perspectives. One, a detailed review of all of their historic costs, compared those with what's happened with the Consumer Price Index, and then also took a look at rates in comparable communities. The cost of operation, a little over $10 million a year, and really their top four cost categories, the direct labor collection, vehicle operations and maintenance, which would include insurance and fuel, and that's a half of their operations. Tipping fees, that's the fees that are charged at the landfill. Those rates are set by the County Board of Supervisors. Franchise fees, which is a pass-through to the franchising agencies. Administration overheads, only about 10% of their total costs, and then everything else is only about 13%. So those main cost drivers, when we took the closest look at, are those four areas that are highlighted in blue. So what's a reasonable return on those costs? The rate-setting methodology really takes a look at their costs and organizes into four categories. The first one's what's called allowable costs. It's really primarily their operation and maintenance costs, and they're allowed to earn a profit, a reasonable profit, on those costs. there's certain costs that are limited. Officer compensation, make sure their costs aren't driven by perhaps inappropriate compensation that might be paid to the shareholders and the corporate officers. But there are limits on what those costs can be. The third category is pass-through costs. They're allowed to recover these, but they're not allowed to make a profit on these. And that's the tipping fees. That's the fees paid at the landfill. And then that's the pass-through fees for the franchise fees to the franchising agencies. And then there's a number of costs that are completely excluded. Not only don't they get to earn a profit, not only do they not get to recover them and break even, they're not allowed to get coverage for those costs at all. And that's any charitable or political contributions, any entertainment costs, income taxes, fines and penalties. So those aren't allowed to be in the cost structure at all. So what's the methodology? On their allowable costs, they're allowed a 92% operating ratio. And they're only allowed to make rate reviews, no request in 2008, zero, no request in 2009 for an increase, so it's zero. 2010 would normally be when they would do their next base year review. We got a little out of cycle because they didn't ask for a rate increase in 2010, so they didn't prepare a packet. When they came back in 2011 and asked for a 5.15% rate increase, which was largely to cover increased tipping fees and green waste management and green waste costs, we used an interim rate review methodology. We discussed that with the staff, discussed that ultimately with the governing bodies, and there was a good rationale at the time for using the interim rate methodology, but we also made it clear that if they were to ask for a rate increase in 2012-2013, they should follow a base year cycle, and that is what is occurring at this time, and that will get us back onto that regular three-year cycle. Conclusion on the based on the review that their costs are reasonable. Their proposed rate increase meets the reasonable return criteria that's in your franchise agreement. And in their calculations of under the agreement, that would result in, and again detailed in your packet, the 5.4% allowable rate increase. But they've asked for less than that. In fact, they've asked for slightly less than the 3.25% increase that would otherwise trigger the possible termination of the agreement. So that leaves us with recommended rate increase at 3.2%. This is based on single-family residential rates. And again, for a 32-gallon container, smaller size, we're talking about a 45 cent monthly rate increase. And with that, I would be happy to answer any questions you may have. I know Tom Martin, in case you have any really hard questions about their costs and operations, I'm sure he would be able to answer them.
Are there any questions?
I do have one question. Early on in your dissertation, you stated that if, in fact, they had asked for a 5.4% increase, that you would have approved it because it is within the methodology.
Yes.
How can you use that same criteria and say, yes, I would have approved 5.4% if they had asked for it, and then turn around and say, but I also recommend 3.2%?
Because they've chosen to ask for a rate increase that is less than they are otherwise entitled to. They've provided sufficient documentation, used the rate-setting methodology that's in your franchise agreement, and basically based on the pass-through of their pass-through costs for tipping fees and franchise fees, and based on a 92% operating ratio on their allowable costs, that would have equated to an allowed 5.4% rate increase. And if that is what they'd ask for, I would be recommending and supporting that as well. Now, if that happened and you approve the 5.4% rate increase, then they would be at risk for the next 9 months potentially for you to terminate the agreement. So in their desire to even potentially take that option off the board, they've requested something less than they are otherwise entitled to. So I'm recommending the 3.2% because I know I could support 5.4. They've simply requested a rate increase that is less than what the methodology would otherwise allow them to have.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you. You had said, I guess my question is, when you look at the rate setting manuals for other cities and so on, would you say that our rate setting manual seems to be pretty current?
You know, I didn't quite quite catch the last part of your question.
You were talking about looking at our rate-setting manual, I believe. Would you say, I believe you said our rate-setting manual was from 2008? Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not quite catching the question, but...
Actually, the rate-setting methodology was first established in 1996, if I'm not mistaken.
In 1994, the city of San Luis Obispo, back in 1994, actually contracted with a large, one of the large accounting firms, Ernst & Young, to put together basically the rate-setting manual. Because in the prior years, the trash company would come, they'd make a case about what a great job they've done and how they should be entitled to X rate increases, and the council went, you know, that's all fine, but we would really like some kind of framework within which we can operate in terms of evaluating that. So in 1994, the city of San Luis Obispo basically took this rate-setting methodology and brought it forward, and the council approved that. And the city has used that consistently since 1994 in all of their rate increases as well. I think it was in your 1999 franchise agreements, you adopted that rate setting methodology kind of by reference because it looked like a good solid rate setting methodology. And so that has been used. They're having to a certain degree by, but at the end of the day, given the cost pressures that are facing them, you know, do the numbers seem reasonable? And in my opinion, they are. I think 3.2% at this point, given really two cost drivers that have been significantly more than inflation that they basically had to kind of deal with, and that's fuel. And the cost of their vehicles, whether it's the original cost of their equipment or as that equipment gets older, increased cost of maintenance on that equipment. When you kind of put that in the context of the very modest rate increases they received, where they went for 4 years without a rate increase at all, I think you have really a good methodology and very reasonable rates. I think if you look in the report, you will have, even with this rate increase, you will still have among the lowest rates in the Central Coast.
Thank you.
Any questions?
I do. Just two questions, and one of them might actually be for Mr. Martin. But the first question is, can you give us kind of a thumbnail breakdown of how the methodology came up with 5.4%?
Yeah, it is really basically taking a look at what are the revenues that we can reasonably predict for 2013 under the current rate structure. And since really right now you have a pretty stable account structure, it's not like there's going to be 23% more accounts coming up in the foreseeable future. So we know what their revenue is going to be. Then we take a look at what their costs are by all of those different categories and take a look at how those costs have increased, at least in my case, taking a look at how those costs have increased over time and whether those cost increases, given the individual breakdowns, appear reasonable, and they do. Then we subtract, so we look at the allowable costs. We set aside the tipping fees and the franchise fees sort of separately because that's just a recovering of those costs. We calculate, we exclude the costs that need to be excluded, we limit the costs that need to be limited, and when we take a look at that ratio then of this is the revenues we can reasonably predict, if they're going to earn a 92% recovery on their allowable costs, what rates do they need to have? And then we calculate the difference, and that's the 5.4%. Okay. Between the revenues, the model would say they need in order to earn a reasonable profit on their allowable costs, pass through their franchise fees and their tipping fees based on projected revenues under the current rate structure, they would need 5.4% more revenues in order to meet the methodology. Okay. Is that?
That answers my question. One request I would say next time we do this, if and when we do this, if you can actually have that calculation put right into the report.
I don't directly have it in my report. The calculations are in their application. Okay. And if I'm ever asked to do this again, I think I will include a brief recap in the report of how we came up with their allowable costs.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And then I just had this may be a curiosity question, but again, it might be for Mr. Martin. It's on one of the pages, I think it was page 2 of your base year application, there seemed to be a bump in office salaries in 2010 to 2011, and it went back down from 2011 to 2012. So I was wondering if that had an operational reason or if it affected levels of service to the city or anything of that nature.
You know, those might be better questions for Tom to answer than me.
Thank you, Mr. Statler.
Yes,
Tom Martin, South County Sanitary. Just to correct one thing Bob said, we're owned by Waste Connections.
Waste Connections.
Which is the number three garbage company in the world, not Waste Management, which is the big bad kid on the block. To answer your question, our office manager of 30 years, Dee Dee Kimball, announced her retirement during that time frame, and we brought in another management personnel to kind of oversee that transition and go, and then she obviously retired and went on, and so that came back down to where it would normally be, and it will be going like that out in the future.
Okay.
So there isn't any. To answer Councilwoman Bright's question about the reason for the rate manual, in the old days of rate making, rates, there would be big increases and then no increases for a long time and then big increases, and in order to level out those things so that we would just get 3% and 2.3% and those kinds of rate increases, the manual was enacted so that every year something gets addressed, so that if there's a problem, you catch it before it gets out of control, so that it limits them to reasonably modest ones. And that's why I think everybody's kind of stuck with it. Every city on this side of Cuesta Grade uses the manual and has.
Any other questions? Or okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Martin. I'm going to open this now to the public. If there's anyone from the public who'd like to come forward, please state your name and your city of residence. Thanks. Anybody want to come forward? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council. Any comments?
I'm ready to make a motion if you'd like.
Oh, great.
First of all, I'd like to thank Tom. I think your company does an excellent job and has for quite some time now. We really appreciate your service.
I'll let him know tomorrow morning at 5:30 a.m.
I think that was it.
Okay. So I'm going to open it to the public. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to comment on any of the consent agenda items? Okay, seeing none, we'll close it to the public and bring it back to the council for discussion. Well, not discussion, actually, for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the consent agenda. We approve the consent agenda as listed, as
submitted.
Thank you.
And I'll second that, but I just remembered my other comment. So is on item 5, there was a grammatical on page 44, note 8 of the audit. It reads 38,385,000. When I think it should read 38,500.
So noted.
Okay.
Thank you. So we have a motion and a second. This is a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion's carried unanimously. We'll move now to regular business. And the first item here is a request to schedule a special City Council meeting, and that is City Manager Perrault.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, yes, this is a request from the Five Cities Fire Authority to schedule a special meeting for February 25th, 2013. The meeting would, if the council grants the request, the meeting would start at 6:30 p.m. The purpose of the request is to offer an opportunity for the City Council to receive a presentation from the consulting firm of NBS. Mm-hmm. MBS is the firm that was retained by the Five Cities Fire Authority and has been working on different financing options, including assessment versus parcel tax to further support the Five Cities Fire Authority. The MBS has made an initial presentation, the Five Cities Fire Authority. Their board then directed that each council receive an individual presentation. By scheduling a special meeting for the 25th, that means that the MBS consulting firm would be within the Five Cities area for three nights and be able to do those presentations consecutively, and would therefore save the authority approximately $3,000 in costs. The recommendation is that the council by motion set the special meeting for Monday, February 25th at 6:30 p.m.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the council? Did you have a question, Council Member
I have a comment.
Nichols? Okay, we'll do that later then. I'd like to open it to the public. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council, and I will look forward to receiving a motion.
Okay, I would like to make a comment.
Oh, sorry, comments, excuse me.
I am now on the board, and we did go over this whole program, and we felt that it was very important that each one of the agencies receive a presentation from the consultant. We discussed the possibility of having the chief or somebody within the department that has the knowledge to make the report, and it was determined that we really don't have anybody that could answer all the questions, and we'd hate to have somebody come forward with a report that couldn't answer all the questions. So we decided to do it this way, with the consultant making the report, who would have all the answers for any questions that may come up. And in order to keep the cost down, as reported by city manager, if we were to have them come at various times to meet our convenience, it would have cost us double what we're going to pay them to make an appearance, because Arroyo Grande and Oceano fall one day after another. So we thought if we could get Grover Beach to agree to a special meeting, that would take care of all three of them in one shot, which is why we've asked for that. And I think it's very important that we hear from the consultant.
Thank you, Council Member Nichols. That's helpful information. Are there any other comments from council members? That date works for everybody? Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess it is time for a motion now.
Then I will recommend that we set in motion necessary steps to have a special meeting on Monday, February 25 of this year at 6:30 p.m.
I'll second that.
And that is a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries unanimously. The next item on our agenda is selection of method for filling vacancy on the City Council created by the resignation of Council Member Molnar. And our City Attorney, Kazana Wicks, is going to present this item.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. This item is before you for a decision on how you wish to proceed to fill the vacancy. Election. Under state law, you do have that option. You can either, within 60 days, appoint or call for a special election. The budget for a special election has been estimated between $20,000 and $30,000. With regard to the selection method, it's wide open. It can either be by consensus, it can be through application process and interviews, it can be through appointments of candidates from a single council member. Staff is ready to assist the council in whatever methodology you wish to consider or discuss. With that, I will submit the staff report, answer any questions. But again, what's before you today, if you wish to do so, is to select the method by which you, that vacancy is going to be filled. If you're unable to make a selection tonight, you still have time to do so at the next meeting.
Thank you, City Attorney. Are there any questions of the City Attorney?
Only one, just so I'm clear. We have 60 days within which to fill this vacancy, correct?
Correct, or call for an election.
Correct. All right, thank you.
And just a clarifying question on that, our first meeting in April is actually happens to be the first. And so
staff would recommend that if a selection is appointment is to be made, that it's done at the second meeting in March, which I believe falls on the 18th.
On the 18th, yep. Okay. So, but we technically, if for some reason we didn't make a decision that night, it would be too late to make it on the 1st.
It would be my recommendation to have a special meeting sometime between the 18th and the 1st.
Okay.
The 1st would be the 61st day, I believe,
gotcha.
From February 1st.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm going to open this now to the public. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to come forward?
I apologize, Mayor, if I may. I'm going to reverse myself on that. February
okay.
has less than 30 days, so yep. April 1st would work.
Great. Anybody from the public who'd like to come forward and speak? It looks like, Mr. Wison, could we let Sharon come forward since you've already had a shot at it? And if you could give us your name and your city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes, please.
Sharon Brown, Grover Beach. This is a real ticklish situation for you, and you're between a rock and a hard place. First of all, you're barely started in to your terms after the election, so there's a lot left. At the same time, it is a timeliness thing, and so I don't envy you your decision. I do think that getting somebody on board as soon as you can is probably the best way to go. At the same time, had we known this in November, the election might have gone differently. So, you know, somebody who ran then, maybe would have been elected if ex-councilwoman Molnar had not been on the ballot. So I don't envy your decision.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Mr. Weissong. Did you want to come over, come forward and speak?
They say ladies before gentlemen.
Thank you.
You know, I've been here 55 years. I was here when this opened up. And I was born and raised in Chicago politics. I know what it is. And ever since this opened up as a city, we've had problems with Chicago politics. And just a few years ago, when John Schultz came in, we didn't have an election. He was railroaded in, if you remember. And so I called the recording office. I asked them, who was behind you? And they said, about a month after the voting, they said the Lewis or whatever his name was. And then they said it was Liz Dukas' wife. And then they said Anita. So I would like to see somebody on there, just like I said, that has common sense, practical knowledge, and common knowledge. Because this council and past have never had that. They've never been able to stand on their 2 feet. They work for you. And you are the boss. Just like Chicago politics, unions. Everybody has bosses. So if Liz Dukas is in line, I think she should. But if not, I think Anita Schaller should be on there. Because she's been here for a while. She knows legal stuff. She's got a backbone, and she can stand on her 2 feet. Or you can get somebody that's wishy-washy that wants to blend in with the staff.
Ms. Brown said that the... we've just started the term. This term is actually expires in 2014.
Councilmember Molnar ran for mayor. She
correct.
Did not run for council, so she was not just elected to council. Right. She has 2 more years on that term.
Okay. Yeah. So the seat expires in 2014.
That is correct.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there any questions up at this end?
I have comments, but no questions.
Okay. I think we've already done questions anyway, so excuse me, let's do comments. Let's hear your comments.
Oh. Well, really my comments, I guess, to start with, really are regarding the resignation of Councilmember Molnar. It's very concerning that we have a councilmember who ran for mayor, and after purchasing a house in early October, she continued to run for mayor. Her loan doc stated that she purchased a home outside of our city as a principal residence, yet she continued to run for mayor. She continued to sit on this city council. And it's just very concerning that continued to go on. So I don't really know... I don't know that there's really much that can be done or that there's anything that we would do, but I find it very disturbing that we'd have somebody that would treat the citizens of Grover Beach in that fashion. So here we are now when we really, as Ms. Brown said, we could have done something long before this. So I just find it to be really... very disturbing that's how our city was treated. Those are my comments regarding that issue.
regarding this issue. Do you want me to start with that?
Sure.
Okay. My comments regarding filling this vacancy, I believe that it should be an appointment. I don't think that our city needs to hold a special election. I don't think that's necessary. I think that we should have those that are interested in being appointed, they should come forward and put their name forward, and council can interview them or whatever, like we did before, like we've done in the past. Seems to have worked for the city. So that's my opinion on that. We certainly don't need to spend $28,000 to $30,000 for a special election. I think that's just kind of unnecessary.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Bright. That actually raises a couple of questions that I did not ask, so I'm going to go out of order here. And I do have a question for the city attorney, and I apologize for not giving you a heads up on this one first. I don't know if it's an easy answer or not, but Councilmember Molnar sat on the council for a month or two when she wasn't a resident in the city. Does that have any impact on the votes that were made by us as a council?
No, and there are a couple of provisions, and I know you're referring to loan documents. A declaration of residency does not have to be fulfilled until 60 days after escrow closes. So there are certain things that would certainly not make any of the votes invalid or bring them into question.
Good.
Thank you. And then another question, has staff had any indication of people stating that they would like to be considered for the role?
I've talked to no one at this point. City clerk? No, we've received no phone calls yet, but please remember that the resignation was just effective, I think, on Thursday, so there's been very limited amount of time for anybody to express an interest.
Thank you. How about up here? Have council members had anyone expressing an interest to come forward?
Haven't had anybody express any interest, but I have spoken with a couple people who have approached me and requested that, or discussed with me the fact that it would be too costly to the city to have a special election, and they were supportive of appointment process.
Thank you. Okay, we'll come back to deliberation then. I just wanted to clarify those two matters. And does anybody else on the council wish to comment, deliberate any further? Any thoughts about how it should be done?
Well, my personal opinion is I think we should...
The submittal process and so forth, I guess I was looking to see who would step forward first and actually submit letters would have been my first thought, but I'm open to the process. I mean, my initial inclination is have people submit letters, and if we go have staff potentially weed out ones that are clearly not what's the word I'm looking for?
Qualified,
thank you. Clearly not qualified for residency and so forth. Yeah, thank you. Clearly unqualified based upon those items, and then have us either interview briefly and then go through that process. But again, I'm open to a streamlined process if that works.
Any other comments?
No. Well, you know, I do understand what you're saying, because there is a matter of timeliness that we do have to consider. But I don't know that we're going to be inundated. Just don't see that happening. But so I mean, I'm really open to either. Mm-hmm.
It just seems to me that having letters submitted would be rather complicated and could prove to be a long, drawn-out process. What happens if you get a whole bunch of letters and you have no idea who has submitted these letters?
What if we get none?
Pardon?
What if we get none?
Then
that
we
could
proceed,
be another trouble.
Then we proceed with the nominations by the council members.
So maybe we should just do that. Maybe we should just do nominations and
can't hear.
You can't hear?
I wanted to weigh in a little bit before we have a motion on this particular item. I can remember the last time we did this and we brought forth a council member, and my understanding at that time was each of us was to bring one person to the table. So we had four people coming, and only one of those could be selected, which meant that probably three of us had to not vote for the person we brought forward, which was awkward and difficult. And so I would personally be in favor, if we're going to do appointments, of asking people to apply. We can still encourage people to apply, but putting it out to the public and asking them to apply. And part of my reasoning there, I'm of two minds here, but part of my reasoning there is that I want it to be the process which is the closest that we can get to an election. I support the fact that we can't have an election, although ideally I think that would be the way really to find out the will of all the people. The reason I asked if there were a lot of people coming forward is because if there's no one coming forward, we certainly don't want to go through the expense of getting started with an election. And I'm not confident that there are people coming forward at this point. I know in San Luis Obispo, the interest started revving up well before, perhaps even before there was a resignation. So I'm not seeing that same level of activity here in Grover Beach. The other thing that I wanted to throw into the mix is Santa Maria on the news this evening made a good point, and I believe it's been made in our report here too by the city attorney, and that is that we're encouraged by the state to get this process done quickly. An election doesn't get it done quickly, and I think that we're a little bit hobbled by having only four people as opposed to the five on the council. So all things considered, I do support an appointment, and I have had the same feedback that people don't want a costly election.
As have I.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's been fairly clear for all of us. So that's my two bits. We'll still need to have a motion as to how we do it. If we did have appointments, if we had an appointment and we had people sending in a letter of application, we could still interview those people. We could ask them to come forward for interviews. I don't think if there are 30, obviously we don't want to interview 30. So we may want to have some process to weed those out. But I guess we might be able to cross that bridge when we come to it.
Well, I think there was, wasn't there some discussion of that where they could be interviewed? They could be interviewed
us. Certainly in the last instance where we each appointed one, the council conducted brief candidate interviews during the council meeting and then voted on the appointment.
And Madam Mayor and council members, if perhaps I can suggest a method of maybe seeing if one works and then moving into the second, since we do have a little bit of time, and it appears that there is the consensus that an appointment would be the route that the council would select. And perhaps maybe, much like Planning Commission or Parks and Rec Commission.
And we followed this process where each one of the council members nominated somebody, and it worked very smoothly. I think worked very well. I think we ended up with two outstanding council members by using that method. I can appreciate your comment that it might be a little difficult, but what the heck, we face difficult decisions every day. That's what we're up here for, is to make difficult decisions. So I personally don't think that should be a criteria. We're doing the best we can for what's best for the city, which is why I feel that nominations by each of the council members, bringing somebody in that we have some familiarity with, that we have some information on their background, what they've done, what they can do, etc. That's why I personally feel that the nomination process would be the best.
Okay. Any other comment? Would someone like to make a motion?
Sure. I'll make a motion. I'll move that we use the nominations by individual council members and then have a vote at a future city council meeting to make the selection.
I'll second it for discussion.
Do you want to have any discussion? Any discussion prior to voting?
The actually, my thought is still goes back to I think the way that Councilmember Nichols is saying is a potentially fallback position with regards to that. But I guess I'm still supportive at this point of moving forward with a with letters of interest. And then if no one comes forward, then go into the appointment process to give as many people as many residents of the city an opportunity.
Okay, so I think. I don't see here what kind of a vote we need, but I'm thinking a roll call on this particular one would be a good idea. So, okay. City Clerk, could we have a roll call, please?
Yes.
No.
No.
No. So we have 1-4 and 3 opposed, and so that means we need to come up with a different motion.
Okay, then I'm going to make a motion that we solicit letters of interest from Grover Beach residents who are registered voters of Grover Beach. I would, though, like to, if I could, put a time limit on this. So, I mean, it has to be in a specific period of time. I'm saying, like, within, I don't know, you tell us, Martin, 10 days or...
I
mean,
I think if it is the council's wish to review this material at the next council meeting, then I would think 10 days would be appropriate.
And then would that give staff enough time to get them all together? And
if I could, I know it needs to be filled as quickly as possible, but I would probably suggest a slightly longer period of time. That will allow enough time to get the word out. I would suggest that you leave the period open until 2 weeks from today. That would give, or until the 19th, the next council meeting. That would give us an opportunity then to let you know exactly what the response is in terms of numbers, and then you could make a determination as to when you would like to schedule those interviews or the next step.
Yeah. Councilmember Bright, are you good with that since you made the motion?
I'm good with that. I was just concerned about staff, if you have enough time to get it together. And
if we did it for 10 days, let's say, today is the third?
Fourth.
10 days puts us to the 14th, which...
Thursday.
Which is Thursday, which would make it somewhat difficult because we have a holiday in the interim, and we need to get the agenda out on that closing day, which might make it difficult. So, and there's a furlough on day in there as well.
And that would depend on what would the council's expectation be for what would be in the staff report for that meeting. Because if you're simply looking for the list of names, obviously that can be supplemented in time for the meeting.
I think a list of names and then, of course, the information that they've submitted, the letters, right? I mean, that's what we want to see, basically.
Mm-hmm. Put them in the supplemental if you want. It's up to you.
We'll make whatever you desire work. For me, I think from a staff perspective, getting an item together complete with the applications.
We need 10 working days.
That's the city attorney raises a good point. You've set a special meeting for the 25th. So it's likely if we left that period open until at least the 19th, the date of our next council meeting, you could receive a status report and then also schedule those interviews for the same date as the special meeting. And you could make the appointment on that date as well.
Sounds like a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be here anyway.
Yep.
And it keeps the process quickly, going quickly.
Okay.
So we've got a motion on the table, but I'm not sure that the motion was completed. Did you have it?
Well, I think they completed it for me. So we will... My motion is to solicit letters of interest
from Grover Beach residents who are registered voters of Grover Beach. We'll leave the process open until
the 19th.
And then we will review the letters on our special meeting.
Right.
The 25th.
And conduct interviews.
Then. Okay. So that's the motion.
Do we have a second?
I'll go ahead and second that.
So we have a motion and a second. Could we have a roll call, please?
Yes.
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 Yes. So it carries unanimously. Thank you all for your input here. And we are now moving along.
Mayor Peterson, yes. Just so you'll know, staff will begin working on putting out a press release immediately indicating what the council's decided in terms of process.
Thank you. Thanks very much. And thanks for your willingness to do some additional work getting this taken care of quickly. The next item on our agenda is council committee reports. And so it looks like Mayor Pro Tem Bright is the first on our list.
Thank you. I had one meeting, and that was Zone 3. It was really nice to go back to Zone 3. I hadn't been there. That was one of my first assignments when I was appointed way back when in 07. Most importantly, I think, is the proposed budget, which you all got a copy of, and it will be coming before us as an agenda item, I believe. Right. So we'll be seeing that as a in one of our agenda items somewhere before March, I guess. And I did give you all a copy of the five-year billing estimate, just so you all kind of have an idea of the cost per acre foot of water, that how that is derived. So at this point in time, the cost per acre foot to us for water is $1,413 per acre foot of water. And it goes up from there. So that's the scoop, and they're still working on the habitat conservation plan, which they were working on when I was there in 07. So one of these days they might get that thing together. Anyway, things seem to be going well there. They've got the budget under control. Expenditures are under control, thank goodness. And so I'll just keep reporting as we go along. So thank you.
I have two questions.
Yes.
Is this the folks who are, is this the committee that is working on steelhead trout?
Yes.
Okay. Any word on any of that?
That's part of the conservation plan.
Mm-hmm.
Is the steelhead trout. And I'm sorry?
And salmon enhancement, too, correct?
Yes, I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I guess what I'm asking is if maybe next time if you have an update on where we are with all of that. I had thought a while ago we thought maybe that was all coming to a conclusion.
Well, they have their own plan. They have a presentation schedule. It's just a nightmare, really. I mean, truly. So, I can actually get some more information for you, but it's its own nightmare. But so you want to give me some specifics that you'd like me to find out for
I'd
you?
I'd like to know when it's going to all be over.
They would too. I know.
No way.
Yeah, I'd like to know where we are in that process.
Okay, I'll try and get as specific as I can.
Thank you. And then the other thing I wanted to clarify, this price per acre foot is the price per acre foot of Lopez water, not per acre foot of all of our water. Because
31st and heard Bill Moning and Kacho Asajian present their what they've been doing up in Sacramento and where they see the state of the state, so to speak. And then realizing that there hasn't been a lot of allowed representation, shall we call it, by us at the chamber. I'm trying to set up a meeting with Judith Bean to, and then also Lenny Jones as their government liaison to try and encourage some more participation allowance from their part for members of city councils and so forth. And let's see, nothing on the IWMA. Their next meeting's in March. And then the SLO County Visitors and Conference Bureau. I wasn't able to attend the meeting on the 16th, being up in Sacramento for the new council member and mayor's orientation. But I did go through and review a number of presentations that were given at various functions. So brought myself up to speed, and they've got a lot of things in the hopper for that. And I'll report more after their February 21st, 27th meeting.
And did you want to announce the Grover Beach Citizen of the Year that was chosen at the chamber dinner? And if you don't, I will.
please do, because I would do a horrible job in pronouncing her last name.
I think it was Judy Bowen. Is that right?
Okay.
Yeah. And Judy is from Captive Hearts, who are located on Grand Avenue between, I believe, 9th and 10th. And she was a great speaker, and she's done a great job working with women who've formerly been in prison and helping them to rebuild their lives. And she's now taken over almost the whole block between, if it's 9th and 10th, if I've got my streets right. And she was a great speaker. She's done a lot in our community. I remember when I was on the Planning Commission I remember approving that use there, and I think that was one of the better decisions we made. I'm so glad that we did, and congratulations, Judy. Also, Bill Nichols. Sorry, Councilmember Nichols, do you have any reports?
Well, the Five City Fire Authority did have a meeting. Usual routine business, nothing exceptional, except we did talk about the authority coming up with its own finance plan, which is a presentation that will be made before us on the 25th. That was most of the discussion that we had, and the decision was made to bring it to each of the agencies. Other than that, it was just routine maintenance costs and stuff.
Okay, and the South County Area Transit, nothing there?
No,
okay.
Nothing there.
All righty. I also, most of my meetings are still coming up. However, I did, South County Sanitation District had some questions. They wanted some assistance from the council. And I don't need answers tonight. If you approve, I'd appreciate your agreement to agendize this. We were asked to do so by the district. And the two things that they would like to know is, right now, we always meet at the Oceano Community Services District meeting room. And there has been some thought that maybe the other jurisdictions who are covered by the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, it's a big mouthful, might wish to have meetings there. So they're asking, would Grover Beach like to have their meetings here sometimes? Would Arroyo Grande? And they've asked us to come back to the council and to the public and ask for input on that. So that was one item. The other thing they'd like input on, there's been some discussion about possibly having an additional two council members on their board. And the reason for that is that it's three council members, which doesn't allow maybe for some additional experts to be on board, that might be helpful. The other thing is, with the Brown Act, it means that none of the council members can ever discuss anything, even really for information. It's very difficult. So with another two, especially if they were expert members, that might provide more option for council members to get up to speed on some of the things. So they wanted us to consider that and give them some feedback. So I'm wondering if you all would be amenable to agendizing that for a later date.
I think it's a great idea.
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Any discussion.
Okay with that. Okay. So next time we have an agenda that they'd probably like to know sooner rather than later, I'm thinking, because they need to make some decisions. I don't know if we the 25th. But maybe we could do it on the 19th if there's. Okay.
We'll work on that.
Okay. And then the other thing was, I convened a tourism summit. I pulled together all of the folks who are doing tourism providing tourism services, not hotels, but basically more agencies in the five cities, in order that we could talk about what we're doing, whether we could save money and bring more people in by working together. We did that this afternoon. It was a really positive group, and for the first time in a very long time, Amtrak was here. We have a new gentleman, Brian Hart, who's working with us from Amtrak, and so I think all of us were really thrilled to have him.
The other day, and there was a great presentation at the start of the afternoon, and I don't know if there's any interest in having them come do a presentation here, but it was the Veterans Treatment Court, whereby they come forward, and there's a program put together to provide treatment scenarios to keep veterans who have fallen on hard times with the law and bring them back into society without having to go through prison and so forth, but more like a treatment scenario. So sounded like a great program, and I don't know if there was any interest locally to have a presentation or not. So it was just a thought.
So are you asking the council to do anything about that, or?
I'm just wondering if there's interest in having them come speak to us and give a brief presentation to see how we can support them or how they can support the community.
I think, yeah, we often do something like that in public comment, give them a little extra time.
I know my brother-in-law spoke to that issue at the supervisors meeting, but
what was his name? Dana? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't remember his last name. So there's
name is Dana something. He's been before the Homeless Services Oversight Council on a number of occasions. I would hesitate unless he could shorten it. I listened to his presentation when it was rebroadcast on Channel 21, and I concur with you that it was an excellent presentation. It's a new program in this area. It's been throughout the country in other areas for many years, so it's just coming to this area. I almost think it would be maybe better to watch it. They do replay the supervisors' meetings, but his presentation was quite lengthy. I would say it took at least 30 to 40 minutes.
Madam Mayor,
yes.
If I could suggest what staff could do. From time to time, the council has requested that we have presentations of an informational nature on the agenda. Usually they're scheduled under presentations, and we could contact them, indicate the council has an interest, ask that any presentation be limited to 10 to 15 minutes, and we could try and schedule that on an agenda where you've got a lighter schedule. That would be my suggestion.
How do you all feel about that? Yes? Okay. Thank you. That's a great idea. The other thing I wanted to get back to, just on the committees, with Councilmember Molnar being gone, Jeff, are you okay with covering the Homeless Services Oversight Council as the alternate for now?
I am for the moment, and if our city clerk could remind me, those are the which Wednesday at 8:30? I believe the meeting is. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I will put it on my calendar.
Yeah, okay. They meet at 1:30.
1:30.
At the Veterans Hall in San Luis.
And then the RAC is alternate Karen Bright. You're okay with?
Well, I am this month because they fall at different. It just depends.
Okay.
So I am this month.
Hopefully, it will just be this month.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully.
Okay. All right. I don't know if this is specifically a council member item, but I did want to clarify something else as well. I know we've mentioned furloughs, and we had someone from the public say that we're closed one day a week. And I wonder if you could clarify how often we're closed under the furlough agreement.
There is 16 active furlough days, and those are scheduled at least one a month, and sometimes to make sure we make the 16. Sometimes there are two Fridays we're closed in a single month.
Okay.
We tried in working out the schedule to do it in such a way to avoid complications and other scheduling issues with agendas and things of that nature.
And hopefully at some point we'll find out that things have improved enough that we could reduce
right.
that a bit. Okay, thank you for that clarification. And I believe now we have council communications. My only question under that would be, so our meeting, which would normally be on the 18th, Monday the 18th, will be moved to Tuesday the 19th. Because of the holiday.
Because of the holiday.
Okay. Any other council communications? Okay. So, City Manager, did you have any reports?
Just a couple of items. First of all, just to bring you up to date on the Lodge and Conference Center processing, we've been the joint authority has continued, representatives have continued to meet almost on a weekly basis, mostly by phone. What it looks like is that there is a very strong possibility that to update you on. I had the ability and the privilege of attending the League of California Cities meeting in San Francisco for city managers. That was held last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in San Francisco. The sessions specifically that I attended dealt with ethics and the process to develop an ethics code locally. I also attended a session on how to get the word out in ways and methods of getting the word out about what your city is doing. I know that we attempt to do that through regular press releases, but this sessions focused on techniques for making those press releases a little bit more readable and how to make sure that you're communicating the right information to the public so that they understand what you're doing. The other session that I attended that I thought was of note was the economic development session. And there was information that I picked up both on the process to put a business improvement association or a property owners association in place and what those districts could do in terms of type of augmenting our economic development efforts, and I'll be glad to share that both with the council and the folks that are working on economic development. Couple of other things. There is potentially some pending legislation, and we'll need to keep an eye open for it, that may recreate a form of redevelopment that would allow cities to use tax increment financing if, in fact, that tax increment financing would help create or produce jobs. So it's a different direct tie to actually job creation that they're talking about in Sacramento. That would be well worth our taking a look at once that legislation comes forward. So all in all, I thought the three days were very, very worthwhile.
Thank you, City Manager. There were a couple of things I wanted to raise related to your press report there. I know I had been saying that I was going to ask the Tribune to schedule an editorial board meeting, and I did speak with the publisher, and he's agreed to do that, so I'll get with you on that. And I also wanted to correct some information that came out in the Tribune on Saturday, which was incorrect. There was an article indicating that our contract, our Joint Powers Authority contract, is with the Off-Highway Vehicles Division of State Parks. And I know, City Manager, you confirmed to me that, in fact, our contract is with State Parks. Okay, and at Pismo State Beach.
And for the location of a lodge and conference center at Pismo State Beach.
Great. Thank you very much. Wanted to make sure we had the right information out there. And City Attorney, did you have any reports and comments?
No, right now,
thank you. Well, in that case, then, we are going to recess to a closed session. And City Attorney, did you want to give us some details on that?
Certainly. It's a closed session conference with labor negotiators, and I believe it is on all employee groups with the city manager and the administrative services director, as well as her assistants, being the negotiators.
Okay, we will recess now.